Now we're joined in Sydney by Paul Bloxham, Chief Economist at HSBC Bank Australia. Paul, thanks for joining us this morning. And very timely it is too. Just a couple of minutes ago, we had the Reserve Bank of Australia release its financial stability report, and in there, a warning about the trade war. And this is something Phil Lowe's talked about before, isn't it?
It certainly is. And Australia, being a medium-sized, open economy, highly dependent on global trade, is one of the countries which, of course, could be affected by what's going on globally. And if there were a sharper global downturn as a consequence of that, it would be something that would have a quite a large bearing on Australia. One of the points we've been making on a pretty regular basis, though, is that Australia is mostly tied into China's domestic demand story. So you've got to think about, as China's exports might be slowing down as a consequence of rising trade tensions, and if they deliver, which they've been doing a bit of recently, more stimulus to infrastructure investment and more support for domestic growth, that actually feeds into more demand for the sorts of things that Australia produces. We produce a lot of hard commodities, base metals, liquefied natural gas, iron ore and coal. That's the largest part of our export story. So you've got to keep that in mind, I think, when you're thinking about how the trade tensions can affect Australia.
Yeah, well, we'll return to trade in a moment, I'm sure. I just want to deal with a couple of other points from this report from the Reserve Bank of Australia, and really the outcome of this Royal Commission into Banking, which showed some pretty dreadful misconduct of some of the major banks here in Australia. The RBA seems to think that the system's going to come out stronger from all of this.
Well, that's right, and in fact, the RBA is making a point in this that the system has been gradually getting stronger over time. You've got to keep in mind, this is not the only event. The Royal Commission is not the only event that's been happening. We've had a tightening over time of the prudential settings by the prudential regulators as well over recent years, and that's been also making a contribution to the stability of the financial system, something the RBA has pointed out on a repeated basis.
Australia has really high debt levels in the housing market, right? Did they weigh in much on that?
They certainly do, and they've been watching and talking about that for quite some time, and as we have, we've been writing about it a lot as well. Household debt levels are high in Australia. The key question you have to ask yourself, though, is it the high household debt levels that provide the risk, or is it the distribution of debt that matters? And our view, the view we've taken for a while, and the RBA goes through this in a lot of detail as well, is it really is about the distribution of debt. It's about who holds the debt. Do the households that hold the debt, are they able to continue to service that debt? So that's the fundamental question. In Australia's case, there are a lot of metrics that you can track, and again, the Financial Stability Review does this today, that suggests that actually the debt is reasonably well distributed. It's distributed to mostly higher income households. The average household in Australia, the average mortgage holder, is actually 35 months prepaid on their mortgage, and even the ones who are not prepaid don't look quite as vulnerable as you might consider if you just thought about that headline point that household debt levels are high.
Does the fall in prices, because we've seen that on a pretty consistent basis here over the past year, does that impact at all?
It certainly could have a bearing, but you've got to keep in mind that a fall in house prices, particularly at the moment, we've really only seen a modest fall in house prices. In Sydney, for example, they're down 7% over the past year. A fall in house prices certainly doesn't necessarily trigger people to not be able to service their mortgages. The fundamental driver of what allows households to service their mortgages is whether they have a job or not. And if you look at the current employment situation in Australia, we've got strong employment growth. We've got job vacancies that are record highs at the moment. There's quite a bit of forward momentum in the labour market. And while people have their jobs, they are in much better shape to continue to service those mortgages. Just house prices falling in and of itself doesn't necessarily trigger that challenge. Now, if we were to see a much sharper fall in house prices, or particularly a rise in the unemployment rate, then this would become a concern. So I think the risk is that, you know, if we were to see some sort of global downturn that led to a rise in unemployment in Australia, that would mean those high household debt levels would be a challenge. But at the moment, that's not the situation. The situation is that actually the unemployment rate's been trending lower and the labour market's looking tight, and so that's been helpful to support the situation.
Yeah, and we've just seen a bit of data to support this darkening house price picture. Home loans for the month of August off 2.1%, worse than expected, and reversing a modest gain that we saw back in July. But how great a risk do you think there is in this context of a trade war, of Australia suffering, of unemployment spiking up, or Chinese investment weakening in Australia?
Well, this is a great question, a really big question, and we really don't know how far this all plays out. I think the risk of a trade escalation is clearly there. We've seen some escalation already. As a consequence, we as a house have revised our China growth forecast down recently a little bit. We're still expecting that China will continue to be able to grow at a pretty hefty pace. We've got in mind 6.6% this year, a similar rate running into next year, 6.6. And as I said earlier on in the conversation, I think the fundamental thing for Australia is that Australia is not highly tied into China's manufactured export supply chain. We are much more tied to China's domestic demand story. We're much more about providing hard commodities to build infrastructure and housing in China, and we're much more about exporting services like education and tourism to China. And so it's much more about the Chinese domestic growth story. And the more we see a risk that export growth out of China slows down, the more we seem to be seeing, we're likely to see, that the Chinese authorities will deliver more support for domestic growth. We've already seen it in a pull forward in infrastructure projects. We've already seen it in a loosening of monetary conditions in China. More of that is likely to provide support for domestic demand, which in turn supports what Australia exports, which is largely those commodities and services, rather than, as I say, being tied into the manufactured export supply chain.
What does the report say about exposure to emerging markets other than China?
Well, Australia has its largest exposure is to China, and then beyond that, it's Japan is the second largest trading partner, and then Korea. It's actually its trade exposure is relatively small to the emerging markets beyond that. The bigger effect, I think, if you're thinking about the way this emerging market story is playing out at the moment, it's tighter U.S. financial conditions that are reverberating through a lot of the emerging markets, and those tighter U.S. financial conditions, if that were to start to have a bigger effect on emerging Asia, that could have an effect on Australia. I think that's something to worth watching. And then the tighter financial conditions are also having an effect directly on Australia. It is making the cost of funding a bit higher, which is feeding through to mortgages. But I think the main thing that's going on is it's weakening the Aussie dollar. And a weaker Aussie dollar is a very helpful shock absorber and is helping to support Australia in the face of this emerging market story.
Yeah, just now at 71.26 U.S. cents. Just briefly, they even mentioned Italy, right, and the banking and sovereign debt problems there.
Well, this report, which comes out every 6 months from the RBA, is comprehensive. It goes through and takes a global view and looks at some of the risks that are forming on the global horizon. And obviously what's going on in terms of Italy and its sovereign debt is something that they're watching from afar. And the implications that might have for Europe are things that can have a bearing on the global growth story, which in turn reverberates to Australia. I think we said at the beginning, Australia is a medium-sized, open economy, really highly dependent on that global growth story.